Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you visiting today, my name is Pastor Brett. I'm the lead pastor at Kings Corner Church. I want to welcome you today. I'm going to invite everyone just to turn with me in their Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. How many of you have your Bible with you today? Raise it up in the air. Everybody say, "This is my Bible." I'm just kidding. that's a Joel Osteen joke there. We've been in a long series. And this is the last message in this series called Reclaiming Your Mind for God. The first seven messages of this series has been about understanding mental strongholds that have been built up in our minds and breaking free from those strongholds. So we have been engaged in a spiritual battle. How many of you have been engaged in a spiritual battle in the last few months? We started this actually in April, okay? And we've been demolishing the lies and the doubts and the half-truths and the arguments and the fears of the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God. Now, the last three messages of this series, and that's including today's message, are about maintaining our freedom. How many of you would like to not just get free, but you'd like to stay free? Amen. So we've been talking about how we need to regularly take out the garbage, confess, renounce, repent. We've got to deal with the sin in our life on a regular basis. Choose to live in obedience on a regular basis. We've talked about how we need to fill up with the Holy Spirit. Filling up every day, taking time to fill up with God power so that you can win against every enemy every day. Amen? We've been talking about learning how to plead the blood of Jesus Christ to declare our defense against the accuser. How many of you have seen that movie or that TV show? It's called Forged in Fire. Have you guys seen that? Where those, I don't know what you call them, like metalsmiths? Is that right? No one? A blacksmith? Okay, well, I don't know. Do I look like I do any of that kind of stuff? But so blacksmiths, how they, and they forge weapons in incredibly hot temperatures and incredibly hot fires. Well, there's nowhere hotter than the pits of hell. And let me tell you, there's no weapon that the enemy can forge in the pits of hell that can stand against the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we need to learn how to plead the blood of Jesus. Amen? We talked about biblical meditation and taking captive every thought. So loading up our spirit with the Word of God, and then every single thought that comes, we take that sword of the Spirit and we hold it to the throat of that thought and we make it listen to Jesus. And then Jesus can decide if that thought is going to stay or if it's got to go. That's how you take captive thoughts. But we can't take captive thoughts unless we're not meditating, pondering, thinking about, reading, speaking the Word of God. We got to load up with the Scripture first. And then today, we're going to talk about the enemy at the gates. We're going to finish up this series talking about guarding our mind, guarding the entrances to our mind. And the reason why it's so important to win the battle in our mind is because our mind is the battleground for our hearts. If the enemy can take your mind, he can take your heart. Okay? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. This is our main scripture for today. Proverbs chapter 4, 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life above all else. In other words, there's nothing more important that I can tell you to do than to guard your heart. For it's the wellspring, it's the source of your life, it's the basis, it's the foundation, it's the center of your life. Your heart determines your spiritual health and your physical health. Your heart determines if you're living or you're dying spiritually and physically. The New Living Translation of Proverbs chapter 4 there says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That our heart is going to determine the direction and the path that your life is going to go on earth and after you leave earth. The condition of your heart determines where you will spend eternity. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is this is important stuff that we're talking about here. Okay, but we need to first understand what the heart is. Okay, when we talk about the heart, and the Bible talks about the heart, okay, rarely is it talking about the heart as in the organ that's pumping blood to the rest of our bodies. Okay, but it's talking about our spirit. Okay, so I just need, I need a helper here. Jeff, could you come on up here? Thanks, man. Haven't had Jeff up for a while. So Jeff, why don't you just come down right in the middle here, and I'm going to come down where you are. How many of you know that we are spirit beings? You're good there. That we're spirit beings who possess a soul and we live in a body. Okay, so this is Jeff's body. We're looking at Jeff's body right now. So our body is our earth suit. This is what we live in while we're on the earth. Okay, but when you just look at Jeff's body, that's not who Jeff is. Okay, this is just the earth suit. This is just where he lives. Okay, do you see this? Look at this. Look at this face. Huh? Okay, this is just where Jeff lives. Okay, and when we die, our spirit and our soul leave this body. We know this, right? But I don't know if we always think about this. Now, in worldly thinking, we almost always, I'd say 99.9% of the time, we judge people by their bodies, don't we? We judge people right away by their earth suit. We judge them by their height and their weight and their age and the color of their skin and their race and their hair and their clothes. But none of those things is who we really are. Are you all with me right now? We are spirit beings who possess a soul and live in a body. And you know what? When you think of Jeff, okay, the image that's going to come to your mind, what do you think of right away? You think of his body, right? You think of the color of his skin. Is that true? Do we do that when we think of someone? Right? There's nothing wrong with that. We're programmed to think that way. Okay, but do you think God thinks of Jeff that way? When God thinks of Jeff, do you think he just thinks, oh yeah, that black guy? Oh yeah, that guy from Jamaica? The Jamaican. Oh yeah, Jeff the Jamaican. Yeah, that's right. He doesn't think of God that way. Or God doesn't think of Jeff that way. Do you think of God that way? You think he's a Jamaican? Right? But how many of you know that God looks deeper than that? Right? God looks at our heart, or he looks at our spirit. Right? God, the world identifies us that way, not God. Okay, when God thinks of Jeff, he thinks of his heart. Remember when Samuel was looking for a new king? Do you remember that? And no one, not even Samuel, not even the man of God, consider David to be king. Why? Because he was young and he was small. That's it. He was young and small. Because we judge by the outer appearance, we judge by the body. God doesn't judge that way. He looks at the heart, okay? Do you know that Jeff doesn't have a black heart? That I don't have a white heart? Do you know that he's not created with a Jamaican spirit, and I'm not created with an English and Irish spirit? But we're created spirit beings. We're the same in that. Does that make sense? This is why racism is so ridiculous. It makes no sense. Because it's just the pigmentation of skin. That's not who we are. God created us spirit beings. Okay, are you with me? So Jeff has a spirit, he has a heart, he has a life force. Okay? God wants his heart. God wants your heart. And when you submit your heart to him, when you invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit, God himself, comes to live inside his spirit. Isn't that incredible? Jeff, have you invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? You have. That means you have a brand new spirit. That means you are a new creation. That the old is gone and the new has come. Isn't that incredible? That's our spirit. So that's our body. We talked about our spirit. And really this whole series has been about our soul, hasn't it? It's been about our mind, our will, and our emotions, but specifically our mind. And our mind absolutely is the most important part of our soul. Absolutely. Because our will and our emotions always follow our mind, right? But also, it's our mind that's the entrance into his spirit. That's why our mind is so important. That's why we're doing this whole series, right? About the battle for our mind, okay? And so your thought life, the things you ponder and you meditate on and you chew on and you think about over and over and over again up here, okay, those are going to start to plant in here, and they're going to start to grow. Okay, so if we're thinking on things and meditating on things that are not of God, that's going to start planting in here, and that's going to come out in his life. So he starts meditating and thinking upon an offense. He starts meditating, thinking about something that someone has hurt you. And so you're thinking about that, and you're just chewing it over and over in your mind, and you're just getting angry, and you're refusing to forgive. You know what happens? Bitterness and resentment starts to plant right here. And now that's going to impact his whole life. It's going to impact his relationships. It's going to impact his spiritual life with God. It's going to impact your physical body. It's going to keep impacting you. It's going to keep stealing and killing and destroying until the full plans of Satan are fulfilled for his life. Or we can choose to think on the Word of God. And when he thinks on the Word of God, so he starts thinking about forgive and you'll be forgiven. He starts thinking about pray for those people that hurt you and persecute you, right? He starts thinking about the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness and the mercy. Guess what's going to start planting in here? Love and grace and mercy. And that's going to start coming out in your life, in your relationships, and life is going to come out, right? So Proverbs chapter 4, 23, I'm almost there. Just stay with me. So Proverbs 4, 23 talks about protecting, guarding our spirit. Well, the way we guard our spirit is we got to guard this, because this is the entrance into our spirit. Okay, so today we're going to talk about three specific entrances. Can I get my three helpers up here? Okay, so go ahead and take your position. Face the other way. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Would you guys want these guys guarding you? I wouldn't mind that. Okay, so Josh is the eye gate. That's Josh. He's the eye gate. The eyes is one of the entrances into here, which is going to get into here. Braden, you're the ear gate. You're the ear gate, okay? So things that come in the ear gate get in here and into here. Logan, you are the mouth gate. Why did everybody laugh when I said Logan's the mouth gate? That's not nice. Do you like to talk a lot? So you're the mouth gate, okay? So whatever comes in the mouth, okay, through speaking, and then that's going to get in here, and that's going to get in here. Now, here's something that we all need to really understand. Jeff is the gatekeeper. Did you guys hear that? Jeff is the gatekeeper. So he decides what's going to open up through the eye gate and come in. He decides if the eye gate's going to shut. Are you hearing me? He decides if what he's listening to is going to come in, or if he says, nope, I'm not listening to that garbage, and he can shut the gate. Okay? He's the gatekeeper. You are the gatekeeper to your mind. You have the ability to shut the door. Does that make sense? See, this whole series has been about learning how to identify the lies that are in our mind, break down the strongholds with the Word of God, kick the devil out, and today is about shutting and locking the doors. Does that make sense? Amen. Let's give these guys a hand. Thanks, guys. What a great introduction. Don't worry, my message isn't too much longer. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your presence here, God. God, I thank you for your words today that you brought through Nick and through Sarah, just that words that are going to just bring us freedom. Hallelujah. And God, I just pray for continued revelation of who we are in Jesus Christ, continued revelation of who you are, God, continued revelation of how to get free and how to live free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you look in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 11, I want to first talk about the eye gate. 2 Samuel chapter 11, it's verse 1 to 15, and we're not going to read it, I'm just going to tell you about it. It's a story about King David. So David, King David, he gets up one night out of bed, and it's, I don't know, late at night, middle of the night, and he just gets up, and he's on the roof of his palace, and he's looking over the city, and all of a sudden, a woman bathing catches his eye. And he likes what he sees. And he asks someone to find out who that woman is that's bathing. And once he finds that out, her name is Bathsheba. And he finds out that she is married. But he sends for her. Okay, then King David sleeps with her, and she becomes pregnant. And then King David tries to cover up this sin. So ultimately what he does is he has her husband Uriah killed in battle. Then he makes Bathsheba his wife. Then God rebukes David through the prophet Nathan. And as a consequence to his sin, his son dies. His son dies. Okay, all of that started... All of that happened because he saw a woman. It all begins with the eyes. Okay, he got an image through the eye gate, and then he chose to think about it and meditate on it and continue to watch. Right? And that led him to action. His will followed his thoughts. Okay? But if David had been protecting the entrances to his mind, that could have all been avoided. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Something we need to understand is the enemy is always at the gates. The enemy is always at the gates. Always. And he never has a merciful moment. Never. If he can get in, he's going to get in. If he sees an opportunity to steal and kill and destroy and take ground and territory in your mind, in your heart, he's going to do it. Right? So we need to stay alert. We can't be casual about this. We can't. We can't be casual about the things that we're looking at. We can't be flippant about the things that we're allowing to come into the eye gate. Okay, we can't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant about it. Don't be dumb about it. The enemy's there. Okay, don't be ignorant. Don't be apathetic about it. Don't think, who cares? It's not a big deal. It's just a movie. Can't think that way. We can't think that way. Okay, don't be prideful about it. Don't think, I get that, you know, this is a worldly thing. I get I shouldn't be watching this. I get that. But I think I can handle it. Don't be prideful about it. Okay? Be on alert. The enemy is at the gates. Now, David couldn't help but see Bathsheba, right? He's just looking around. It's an innocent thing. He's looking, and obviously a naked woman is going to catch his eye, right? So he looked and he saw, okay? But how many of you know that David could have looked away, right? He could have taken captive those thoughts. And you know, sometimes we can't help what we see. We're at the convenience store and our eye catches a magazine cover, or we're changing the channel and there's an image all of a sudden as we're changing the channel, right, that catches our eye. Or we're at the gym and someone's wearing a revealing kind of outfit or something that's going to cause, the impure thoughts, right? But we can always look away. And what David did is he made a conscious decision to watch Bathsheba bathe. He could have looked away, but he chose to look, right? And he didn't just look for a second. David looked long enough and examined her long enough to determine that she was beautiful. And while he sent someone away to go find out who she is, I'm going to bet that he kept looking. And he looked to the point that he started to meditate on what he was looking at. He started to think about it, right? And it started to provoke, and he started to entertain sexual thoughts and fantasies about her. And he probably looked at her to the point that she became an object of sexual desire. See, the sexual fantasy, it has a way of depersonalizing sex, and it has a way of devaluing a person. Okay, is Bathsheba a child of God? Did God create her? Right? Does she have value as much as you and I? Okay, David wasn't looking at her that way, right? Because this is what happens when we allow the fantasy to happen. This is what happens when we allow, through the eye gate and the meditation, okay, it starts to devalue people. And the reason I know that is because even when he found out who she was, that she had a name, that she's a person, that she has a father, right? That she's a daughter of someone, that she's a wife of someone. Even when she found out that information, it didn't matter. He was already too far down the road of defilement in his mind. Does that make sense? Right? To the point that he sent for her. Okay, see, once you allow things in that eye gate, and you start to meditate and you ponder and you entertain the things that you're looking at in your mind, the more likely you are to ignore common sense, the more likely you are to ignore reason, the more likely you are to ignore the warnings and the voice of the Holy Spirit inside you telling you to look away, okay? And what happens is you start to even justify your actions. You start to justify sin, Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I know it's not fun talking about sin, okay? But this is the truth of what happens, yes? We start to actually justify sin in our mind. And I'm sure he went through a whole ton of just justifying thoughts, trying to justify what he's about to do, okay? And what happens in that fantasy realm and in that realm when you're meditating what you're looking at, the enemy will only show you the pleasure of that. The enemy will never show you the consequence of that. Never. I think if David knew that he'd lose his son, right, which I know was a result of the sin, but if he knew the consequence of his sin, I think he would have looked away and went to bed. Right? This is a perfect example of how the enemy can come through the eye gate, take that ground in our minds, our hearts, and start to fulfill his plans for our lives. I mean, we're talking about King David. King David, the one that's described as the man after God's own heart, became an adulterer and a murderer because he wasn't guarding the entrance to his mind. Right? We need to guard our eyes. We need to be aware of what we're looking at. The enemy is at the gates. Here's the ear gate. Okay, the second one is the ear gate. So not just the things that we look at is an entrance, but the things we hear, the things we listen to, also act as an entrance into our mind, which can get into our heart. Okay, and the things we hear directly impact our faith. How many of you know Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And the opposite of that is true as well. Unbelief comes by hearing, and hearing the contradiction to the word of God. The word gives us faith. The word produces faith. The world and the enemy produces fear and unbelief. Okay? You say, what's the big deal? Well, how important is our faith? The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. Right? That faith is an important element in our salvation. The Bible says that it's the prayer offered in faith that makes the sick person well, that faith is a factor in prayer. Okay? The Bible says that that it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. The Bible says that the just, the righteous, how many of you are the righteousness of God? That you are to live by faith. Okay? So the ear gate absolutely is critical in attacking our faith. Okay? Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at another story here in Luke chapter 8. This is the story of Jairus and his daughter. So I'm not going to read the story. I'm just going to quickly kind of give you the summary. So there's a man named Jairus, and he desperately just approaches Jesus and asks that Jesus would come with him and minister to his little girl because his daughter, she's 12 years old, and she's dying. So Jesus agrees to go with him. And as they're going towards his daughter, a woman touches Jesus, who's sick, gets healed, and then Jesus starts talking to that woman. And while Jesus is talking to that woman, someone from Jairus' house comes and talks to Jairus and says, "Jairus, I'm sorry, your daughter's died. There's no reason to bother Jesus anymore. She's dead." And Jesus finds out that happened. Jesus hears that happened, that Jairus was told that. So right away, Jesus goes over to Jairus, and he says, "Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just have faith, and she will be healed." Then Jesus goes with Jairus to his house, and sure enough, his daughter has died. And Jesus raises his daughter from the grave. How many of you know that when Jesus tells you something. That you can know, not just hope, you can know that it's the truth. Amen? That when Jesus tells you something, you can be sure of what you hope for and certain of what you can't see. Amen? Hallelujah. So Jairus is given the message through the ear gate, the message that is contrary to the word of God, the message that's going to bring him fear and lead to unbelief in his mind, in his heart. So Jairus is given that message. What is he thinking right away? Right? He's thinking, she's gone. There's no hope. Even Jesus can't help now because she's dead. Right? It's too late. So Jesus knew that was happening to him. So Jesus uses the same gate. Okay? I want you to understand that. He uses the same gate, the ear gate, right? To bring hope and peace and produce faith. To bring the word of God, right? Jesus is the word. Amen? So he says, don't be afraid, just have faith and she will be healed. And now Jairus has the word. He has the word of Jesus Christ himself to meditate on which battles the fear and the unbelief, and it's going to produce faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So we need to guard that ear gate. Okay, what are you listening to? Right? What kind of music are we listening to? I'm not going to tell you what kind of music to listen you to, for you to listen to. The Holy Spirit can tell you that. Okay? But what are we listening to? What voice are we listening to, right? This is important when the voice of the accuser comes. We need to understand. What are we listening to? The message that the world gives us, right? In social media. The voices of other people. How many of you have ever been attacked by the enemy by other people through the ear gate? Anybody? Anybody? Right? So remember, you're the gatekeeper, right? You determine what comes in. You determine whether the door shuts or opens, but we need to guard the gate. We need to man the door. And the last one is the mouth gate. Okay, and the thing that's very interesting about the mouth gate is that it's two ways. It goes two ways. It's a two-way gate. Okay, the things that we say can be an entrance into our mind and into our heart, but also the things we say help us to see what's already in our heart. Is that true? Okay. Remember when Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Someone once said, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. Anybody hear that before? Okay. So, of course, we need to guard all three entrances. Okay, but by far, the mouth has the most power. Okay, we know this. We talked about this a lot. It's Proverbs chapter 18. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips. He shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Okay, so the quality of our life is dependent on the words that we speak. And because our words have the power of death and life, we're going to bear the consequences of what we speak. We're going to eat our words, this scripture tells us. Okay? If you don't like your life, change your words. Everybody catch that? If you don't like your life, change your words. Okay? So every time we open our mouth, every time, we have a choice. We can speak death, we can speak doubt and failure, and fear, and unbelief, and cursing, and boasting, and slandering, and lying, and sarcasm, and gossip, and complaining. We can speak death. Okay? Or we can speak life. We can speak God's word. We can speak God's will. We can speak God's love. We can speak words of faith, hope, truth, reconciliation, and encouragement. We have a choice. Okay, I'm going to pause for a second here. I'm almost through, like almost at the end. But I feel like we're missing it. I feel like we're sleeping. Are you with me? Hear this with ears, with new ears today. Hear this with fresh ears today. I know I've told you this before. I know you've heard this before. I know that you know there's life and death in the power of the tongue. But don't miss what the Holy Spirit is telling you today. Amen? Every word that comes out of your mouth has destructive or creative power. Every word. How did God create the earth? And God said. And God said. And God said. He used the power of his words. Right? Did you know that you're created in the image of God? Amen. Did you know that? That your words have the power of life and death, that your words have destructive and creative power. Right? So we can speak death and advance the enemy's destructive will for us. Okay? Or we can speak life and advance God's will for us. Psalm 141 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Some of you are thinking, man, I think it'd just be better off to be a blind, deaf, mute. It seems like we can't say anything, or look at anything, or listen to anything. Philippians 4 helps us with that, okay? And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So this is telling us how we're supposed to think, but we just talked about the entrances to our thinking, right? So this helps us to know what we're supposed to look at, what we're supposed to speak, and what we're supposed to listen to. Things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. When I prepare this kind of message, the Holy Spirit always deals with me. And I start thinking some of the areas in my life where I am leaving the gate open. I'm leaving the gate wide open for the enemy. I don't know if I'm being ignorant or prideful or what it is, or like ignorant as in stupid, but I'm just leaving the gates wide open. And so the Holy Spirit started showing me some things that I'm looking at, that I'm speaking, that I'm listening to, that I need to shut the gate. So I don't know if that happened to you today, but we're going to take a moment, and we're just going to listen. We're just going to listen to the Holy Spirit and just try and listen to what he's telling us, what he's showing us, okay? So let's just take that moment, and then what we're going to do is we're going to pray together as a group, and we're just going to repent of some of those things. You know, I just felt like I need to repent of some of the things that are coming out of my mouth and some of the things that I'm watching, and so we're going to repent. When David realized what he did, it's like it snapped him out, that rebuke from God. It snapped him out of whatever, wherever he was, and it gave him an understanding, a revelation of what he actually did and how he actually hurt God, right? And so we're going to just pray that prayer that David prayed for God. How many of you know that prayer? Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me, right? So we're going to pray that prayer together. But first, let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment and let's just spend a quiet moment with the Lord. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just pray this prayer with me together today. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your... And it's going to be too long to repeat it, so I'm just going to have you agree with me just to yourself. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight, and your judgment against me is just. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would sacrifice one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. Oh God, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, our prayer team is going to be standing by at the end of service. If you would like further prayer, they would be happy to pray with you. Just, it doesn't have to be about what we're talking about. It can be about anything you'd like prayer for. And for the rest of us, we're going to invite us just to do our visiting out in the foyer and outside. It's beautiful. And I just want to tell you this. I love you. And God loves you so much more. Amen. We're dismissed.